everybody. Lovely. Our reading today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Julie. As always, keep Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21 in front of you. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this part of Ephesians, we do pray. We pray for your power by your Spirit to be at work now, to be changing us. A prayer that is all about being changed to be more like Jesus. Please be doing that work in us now. As your word is opened, as your Spirit is at work within each one of us, would we, as we've seen in Ephesians, grow to be the people that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to imagine a church. It's a church that I think about quite a lot. Imagine a church where everyone is committed to reaching people for Christ. Imagine a church where everyone is committed to reaching people for Christ. A church where church members are committed to making the most of every opportunity that they have to pray and to share something of the love of Christ with those in their families and those that they work with, their neighbors. Imagine a church that is growing, a church that is growing as people respond to that good news. As people are joined with God's people and become members, saved by Christ. Imagine a church that has an urgent desire to see people saved from hell and for God's glory. Imagine a church that is committed to reaching people. Imagine a church that is growing. A church that is growing more like Christ together. A church where there are deep relationships between the church family. A church where those relationships are used to care and support for one another. A church where people are changing to be more like Jesus. A church that is united in love, where there can be difference, but where there is forgiveness where it is needed. And a commitment to live out the unity that they have. A church where families are being transformed. A church where people are committed to living for Christ in their work. Imagine a church that is so different that people take notice of the church family. Imagine a church that's growing to be like Christ. And then imagine a church that is sending people for Christ. Imagine a church where people are committed to pray for God's mission around the world, committed to give sacrificially to enable that to happen, committed to send people and support people in mission. Well, you may be thinking, well, where can I join such a church? What a church. But actually, that is the church that Paul is going to go on to outline in the next chapters of Ephesians, Ephesians 4 to 6, which, as I said, we're actually going to look at after Easter. That is a church that Paul has in mind. And actually, it's the church that we should have in mind as well for ourselves at St. Simon's. And not that these things aren't happening. There's much to give thanks for God's work at St. Simon's. But we also know there's plenty of room to grow, as in any church. And wouldn't it be wonderful for that church that we've imagined, that picture that we've painted, that to be the thing that we aim for as a church family? Wouldn't you love to be part of a church family like that? Well, as I say, St. Simon's, we're on the way there. There's plenty to give thanks for. But how do we get there? How do we get to that vision of church that is reaching people, that is growing in Christ, that is sending people for Christ? Well, as a PCC at the moment, we're thinking through what that looks like, some of the practical steps that we might want to take. But actually, here in Ephesians, we see that before anything else, the truth that we've seen in Ephesians 1-3, the fact of God reconciling us together in Christ, reconciling us to Him, bringing us into His plan for all time, that the deeper those things sink into our hearts, that is what will result in a church that is reaching and growing and sending. And so at this point in the letter, Paul stops to pray. He stops to pray for the Ephesians, for God's power to be at work in them, to bring those truths of God's work in us and in the world to bear in our hearts, to give us the power to live the way that He's going to call us to live in chapters 4-6. And so we've got this prayer before us, and it is a prayer for power. Paul knows that that's not going to be easy, so he prays for power. Do you see it in verse 16? Power, verse 18, power in verse 20. Paul prays for power to live out all that he's said so far, all that has happened to us. So the first thing we're going to see, if we're to be a church that is reaching, growing, sending, and we're to pray for power to be changed. First of all, we're to pray for power to be changed. Verse 14. For this reason, Paul says, I kneel before the Father. Now, remember last week we saw that actually Paul had begun that prayer back in chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, for this reason I, Paul, and then he broke off to say what his ministry was about and the purpose of the church. Well, he says, it goes back to the prayer in verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father. He's just set out that in him, verse 22 of chapter 2, we are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives. We are the dwelling place where God lives by his Spirit. So Paul says, because of this, because of that work that God has done in you, I pray before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. As the place where God lives, as individuals and as the church, he prays that we'd have the power to be strengthened by the Spirit who lives in us. To be strengthened in our inner being. It's a prayer that God's Spirit would change us on the inside. The Spirit will be changing who we really are, the real me and the real you, our inner being, who we are. I don't know whether you've seen any of the stories coming out this week about a man called Ravi Zacharias. Ravi Zacharias was a preacher of the gospel. He had a huge international ministry. He died last May. And at his funeral, people poured out accolades of what a wonderful man he was and all that he'd done to serve the cause of Christ. Well, over the course of the last 9 months, Ravi Zacharias has been exposed as a serial adulterer, abuser, liar, a public persona that was so different to his inner self. His inner being. If you're tempted to go and Google that news story now, don't. It's pretty sickening, and this is far more edifying for you to stay and listen to this. But he actually admitted, pretty much in an interview the year before he died, He said these words, "Those of you who have seen me in public have no idea what I'm like in private. God does. God does." And I encourage you today to make that commitment and say, "I'm going to be the man in private who will receive the divine accolade. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, fair to say that he's not received that divine accolade. And Paul is saying that not our public persona, but actually who we are on the inside. Praying for God's Spirit to strengthen us in our inner being. And what does that look like? Well, he goes on in verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What does it look like to be strengthened on the inside? So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Now hold on, you're thinking, well, Christ may dwell. I thought he's just already said that he is by his Spirit at the end of chapter 2, that God is living within us. So what does it mean, strengthened so that Christ may live in us? Well, the word there to dwell, verse 17, have a look at it, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. It's actually the word that means to settle, to reside, to inhabit permanently, to make your home. So he's praying that God, that God through his Spirit, through Christ, would make his home in our hearts, his permanent home within us. That in our inner being, that will be the place where Christ makes his permanent home and therefore changes that inner being to become more like Christ. Illustration will help, won't it? Imagine you move into a home, and some of you may have done this. You've moved into a home and it's a new house and it's in an absolute state, right? You move in and there's damp. The wallpaper is peeling. The kitchen, well, it needs gutting. The rooms, they're all kind of pokey and they don't get the right light. It needs kind of reordering inside. And the garden, well, it's overgrown. It's full of rubbish and weeds. And so what do? You move in and you begin some major renovation work. You might maybe kind of knock some walls through downstairs to make the rooms bigger, to let the light in. You get damp course sorted. You get the kitchen ripped out and a new one put in. You spend hours kind of cutting back the garden. And then you decorate. So you've done all those initial big renovations. But then over time, as the years go on, that house begins to reflect your character more and more. As you live in that house and as you fill it with your pictures and your mementos of life, of your life. It's the kind of stuff we see, isn't it, on programs like Your Home Made Perfect, if you watch that. That's what it means to live permanently somewhere so that it takes on your character. And essentially, that is what Paul is praying for the Ephesians here. He's praying that Christ would dwell in their hearts and make his home there so that their hearts take on his character. It's what he's praying for in their lives. Make no mistake, when Christ moves into our hearts, we're a mess. When we first become a Christian, we're a mess. Major sins get exposed. And he gets to work changing us. And that can be painful, but it can also... It's great. Time of great joy. And as we grow and as we continue as a Christian, the prayer is that work goes on. That Christ continues to make his home within us. Keeps on making us more and more like himself. And that is what Paul is praying. Because Christ is now dwelling in us by his Spirit, he's praying that the Ephesians will change to become more like Christ, that Christ will make his home within them in their inner being. And you see the confidence he prays with that, verses 14 and 15 again. He kneels who before the Father, an intimate relationship with the Father, adopted as one of his children so he can ask him anything. The Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, the Father who's powerful and sovereign over all. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, his abundance, that he would do this work in the Ephesians' life, that Christ would make his permanent home and make them more like him. See, the confidence that we've got to pray that prayer to, that Christ would make his home within us. He is within us, but that he'd make us those who reflect his character. What a great prayer to pray for yourself, for your connect group, for the church family. It's good, isn't it? We must pray about things like our health and our work and our relationships. But we're praying that within those, that Christ is at work to dwell in our hearts through faith. That through all of those things, he's working to make us more like him, to reflect his character more and more. As we pray for our children, don't simply pray that your children would be saved. That's too small a thing to pray. Pray that Christ may make his home within them, that he would change them to become more and more like himself. As if you're a new believer, or as you pray for a new believer, don't simply pray for them to keep on going. No, pray that Christ would make his home in their hearts, that he would change them, that by his Spirit he would strengthen them in their inner being so that they take on his character to his glory. See, that's the first thing that Paul prays. Paul prays for power to be changed. Power to be changed like Christ. But then he goes on to say, I'm praying as well, pray for power to grasp Christ's love. Pray for power to grasp Christ's love. Verse 17, he goes on, doesn't he? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He goes on to say, I pray that you grasp how much Christ loves you. Now, he says, look, you know Christ's love. You are grounded and you are rooted. You are established in love. End of verse 17. You know Christ's love, but I want you to know it more and more. The love of Christ is the soil in which we grow. And Paul prays that you grasp, that the Ephesians grasp it in all its immensity. It's the difference, isn't it, between knowing the sea. I can know the sea by paddling in it. I can know something of the sea by swimming in it. But I will only know the immensity of the sea by sailing the Pacific or diving the depths. And that is what Paul is praying for. You know Christ's love, but I want you to know that love more and more fully. We're going to pause and we're going to sing a song, How High and How Wide, that celebrates that love of Christ, that sings of its fullness. Some of us might know it, some of us might not. So if you don't know it, just listen, maybe pray along as you hear it sung now.
Mercy, who should have no rest. troubled joy. Riches and wisdom, unsearchable wealth, and the wonder of knowing your voice. You are our treasure and our great reward, our hope and our glorious King. How high and how wide, how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is your love. Strong is your love. How lavish your grace, how faithful your ways, how great is your love, O Lord.
So Paul is praying then that we grasp the immensity, the lavishness of God's love for us in Christ, of Christ's love for us. He's praying that for the Ephesians. Verse 18 again. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Paul prays that they know something of that love, but now he wants them to grasp the immensity of it. I mean, and we have seen, haven't we, those dimensions of Christ's love in Ephesians. He says that you grasp how wide is the love of Christ, that the breadth of God's love shown in Christ. Haven't we seen that in Ephesians? As that through the cross, anyone can now be part of God's kingdom, of Christ's people. That Jew and Gentile, that all people can be united together in Christ. The great breadth, the width. We've seen the length of Christ's love. The fact that we saw, didn't we, back in chapter 1, that from eternity past to eternity future, God has loved his people in and through Christ. We saw that in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. In love, that is the length of God's love. It spans eternity. We've seen the height of God's love for us in Christ, of Christ's love. That when we are saved from death and raised to life and seated with Christ. That Christ's love reaches literally to the heavens as we are raised and we are seated with him and given that inheritance. And we've seen in Ephesians that the sheer depth of God's love for us in Christ, of Christ's deep, deep love, that he would plunge into this world of sin and death, that he would redeem us through his blood and give us the forgiveness of sins, that he would descend to the depths and save us from hell and God's wrath. And the deepest, most hidden, most grotesque sin can be paid for. Paul is saying, he prays that they would know the immensity of Christ's love. And I guess on a day like Valentine's Day, we're looking, aren't we, for those grand gestures of love. Whether or not you've received roses or sent roses, or you've sent a Valentine's card. And today is all about grand gestures of love. And yet there is no grander gesture of love than in the history of the world than Christ entering the world to die and to rise again. That human love, as wonderful as it is, can sadly be fleeting and fickle and failing. And yet the love of Christ is strong and satisfying. And as wonderful as human love is, it is imperfect. And so Valentine's Day says to us, it's great to experience the delight of someone loving us, of someone showing love, but know where it points. And if you're longing to experience the delights of being loved, then know that you are loved immeasurably. Immeasurably more than actually you could imagine. With a love that is wider and longer and higher and deeper than the best love that anyone on this planet could give. And Paul prays that they don't simply grasp that love intellectually, but that they experience that love of Christ. Do you see how it goes on in verse 19? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, he's praying that they will experience, that they won't just grasp it intellectually, that it won't just be a theological discussion of God's love, but it will be an experience, that they experience it in their inner beings. Again, it is that difference, isn't it, between saying, I know something of the sea. I can study a map of the Pacific. I can watch a documentary on the sea. And I can describe how big it is. But you will only experience the immensity of it if you are plunged into the middle of the Pacific. And Paul is praying that they experience the immense love of Christ. And why? Well, verse 19, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That is essentially so that they become mature. If you flick on to chapter 4, verse 13, you'll see that that phrase comes up again, and it's simply Paul's way of talking about maturity in Christ. He prays the Ephesians will grasp the immensity of Christ's love, experience it in their hearts, so that they become mature and that they grow. If you want to change, then we are to pray for the power to grasp how much Christ loves you. And just before Christmas, we did a little course with some people called Discipleship Explored. And in it, there are testimonies of various people woven all the way through. Testimonies of people like Simo, an Albanian Christian, who before he was a Christian, looked for contentment in drinking and in his work and in simply watching films. And yet he was changed. He was changed to become somebody who preached Christ, was persecuted for Christ, was imprisoned for Christ, and preached the gospel even in prison. So that when he came out, the prisoners that had become Christians went and planted churches in Albania and Kosovo. Or people like Judy, who in her own words says that she was a fiery Irish girl. And her mum once said to her, Judy, when you leave a room, you leave people behind bleeding and wounded. And Judy would now say that her children, who are 27 and 31, now talk about and say, do you remember the time that mum got mad? Because it is so rare a thing for her to lose her temper. What changed Simo and Judy? Well, it was knowing, it was experiencing the great love of Christ for them. It is grasping how wide and how high and how long and how deep they were loved by Christ that changed them. We are to pray for the power as individuals to grasp Christ's love for us. We're to pray for the power as a church family to grasp how deeply we are loved by Christ. See, the danger is they think, well, I know Christ's love because I've become a Christian. Paul says we are to go on exploring and wallowing and swimming and enjoying that love and knowing more and more of it for the whole of our earthly lives and on into eternity. If you're conscious that I want to become more like Jesus, if you're conscious that it's an area of sin in your life that you want to put to death, if you're conscious that as a church family we are to grow more like Jesus, knowing the immensity of Christ's love, that is the rocket fuel that will change us, that will set us off and keep us going on that trajectory to be changed more and more into the likeness of Christ. And that is what we are to pray for. As we think about becoming more and more a church that reaches, that grows, that sends, let's first of all pray that we grasp how loved we are. Why not over Lent? Said it starts next week. Why not take up something over Lent? Instead of thinking about, sometimes Christians think about giving things up for Lent. Why not take up something for Lent? Why not take up praying this prayer? Between now and when we come back to Ephesians 4, why not make this your daily and your weekly prayer for yourself? Maybe each day pick a dimension of Christ's love to pray for yourself or someone else. Pray that we grasp how much Christ loves us so that we become more like him. As we pray about COVID, as we rightly pray for it to end, as we pray for our loved ones to remain safe, pray that COVID continues to be an opportunity to grasp how deeply we are loved by Christ. Pray that it's a chance for us to grasp at the heights of Christ's love for us, the hope that we have. And if you're at home and you're thinking, I feel so useless to my church family. Maybe because I can't serve in the way that I used to be able to serve. Maybe because age has simply meant that you can do less and less. You could do the most important, the most powerful thing for the church family at St. Simon's. You could pray. You could pray that more and more we grasp how deeply loved we are by Christ, the immensity of his love, that will be the rocket fuel that empowers us to change. We're to pray that we know and experience the immensity of Christ's love. We're to pray that Christ works in us to change us. Just all seems a bit big though, doesn't it? Seems a bit big to pray for. Seems a bit unrealistic, really. We'll see how Paul ends. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you think, God could never do that work in me, God could never soften my heart so that I grasp the immensity of Christ's love. He could never soften my heart so much that I take on Christ's character. Paul says, yes, he can. Because he can do immeasurably more than all you can ask or even imagine. Yes, he can. He's already at work in you according to his power. That is already at work in you, in me, and in St. Simon's. Can he continue to change us to give us an even greater heart for the lost? Can he continue to change us so that we grow more and more like Christ? Can he continue to change us so that we are more committed to his mission in the world? Well, yes, he can. He can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. So will you pray? Will you pray with me and with one another that God would be doing that work in us, that Christ would be making his dwelling amongst us as we take on his character by his power, as we grasp the immensity of his love, and so as we grow to maturity? Will you pray those things? Because God can do it. He can do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have rooted and established us in Christ's love. Please, would you now help us to grasp the immensity of just how loved we are by Christ. Please, would you help us to grasp how wide and how long and how deep and how high is his love for us. Please would we never tire of delighting in his love and knowing more of it. Please would we experience his love in our lives. Please would we be strengthened in our inner being to reflect Christ's character more and more. Please would you be doing that work in us as individuals and as your people here at St. Simon's. Please change as we pray. Please grow as we pray into the likeness of Christ more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to invite Julie to carry on leading us in prayer. Thanks, Julie.